The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Hey, welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm really excited about today's show. It's a long time coming because I have the contributors from one of my favorite books that came out, and they're going to join me, read their pieces from the book, and we're going to talk about it. So this book is called Coming Out Like a Porn Star, and it was edited by famed performer Jiz Lee, who you've probably heard me talk about them on the show, although I have yet to get them on the show because, interestingly, Jiz Lee is shy when they're not naked and having sex. it's one of those wonderful paradoxical qualities where they don't like to do media interviews, which I just find really charming and sweet. But Jiz worked on this book for a really long time, and it features really some of the best porn stars of our time writing. And Violet Blue, who's an amazing journalist and author, had this to say about the book. Violet says, "Coming out like a porn star fundamentally changes the cultural conversation about porn performers. Never before have adult performers been given the space to talk about coming to terms with what they're doing with their bodies, their careers, and their lives. It is in this space that we find out that they're neither victim nor villain. Instead, we encounter people whose inner strength and thoughtful, well-articulated sense of self can teach us a thing or two about how we can better relate to our loved ones, ourselves, and society at large." All the stories in this book are really diverse and moving and incredible, and I'm just really thrilled to have three contributors to the book. James Darling is here, Milka Halili Orbacedo is here, and Lorelai Lee will be joining us later on in the show. So let's get right to it, because I want you guys to hear some of the pieces in this book and then we can talk about them. We had some technical issues going into this show right at the top, so I'm doing this on the fly, but I want to tell you first about our first guest, okay? Milka Halili Orbacedo is a writer and performer. Their writing has appeared on The Rumpus, Tits and Sass, Witchcraft Mag, Breakthrough, and Vice. Most of their adult film work can be found at kink.com. They are obsessed with their work-in-progress memoir, Sisterhood, Meditations on Their Intimate Writer and Pornographer Friends. Welcome to the show, Milka.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this. So I want to kick it off right away with you reading your piece from this book, and then we'll chat after. So whenever you're ready.
Cool. Okay, my piece is called Queen Beloved. My legal first and middle name means Queen Beloved. As a self-identified Oakland suburb hood rat from the Bay Area, I so wanted this to be true. I wanted to be a beloved queen, and I believed, as a young woman of color from a lower middle class background, that to achieve this in a capitalist society, I needed money to self-care like a beloved queen would. I needed money to house, feed, and decorate myself in radiant beauty. I turned to sex work because Antonia Crane wrote a column for The Rumpus called Recession Sex Workers. I've always wanted to be like the writings I read. During the beginning of my foray into webcamming, which warmed me up to the idea of pornography and eventually stripping, Antonia saw my blog of writings and candid nude photos and wanted to interview me for her Recession Sex Workers column. I gave her my consent, and we emailed each other questions and answers. Sex workers never use their real names, Antonia wrote. She asked, why have you decided to use yours? What if your family, grandparents, or brothers find out? I'm assuming my whole family will eventually find out, I wrote, and if they should come at me with any judgment, I hope I have enough love in myself to say to them, thank you for everything you've done for me. I am grateful, but I'm okay and you don't need to protect me. Only God can judge me. Please let me have my peace. This is what I tried to tell my father. It was a few years after my father and mother left me with my then 14 and 13-year-old brothers to run wild for a while, to squat, steal, and sneer at the world. I was still angry. Despite my anger, I agreed to video call on Skype with him. I told him I was doing better, that I had found community with open, sex-positive, and polyamorous people, and that I was taking care of myself. He nodded his head, said, I read your interview, he said. Then he laughed. He said, I molested your mother? That's what you did. Okay, he said. And now you do this webcamming? It's just by myself. It's super safe, and my community knows I'm doing it. Okay, Mocha. Just don't take it too far, he said. You have no right to say that to me, I said, and broke into sobs. I pounded the keyboard of my laptop, and my webcam feed ricocheted with the force of my anger, causing the image of my steer stream face to blur. I finally feel like I've found family. You never gave me a sense of that. You've abandoned your own family, and now that I find mine, you have the nerve to tell me not to take it too far? My father's forehead creased at his third eye. His pale complexion blushed. His mouth frowned and his hazel eyes saddened. My family loves me, and I love them. Tell me that's unholy, I said. I punched the keys with each utterance. Tell me that's unholy. Again, tell me that's unholy. He stayed silent. I rolled more into my laptop and balled my hands once more into fists. The image of my pain face pixelated with each punch to the keys. He let me cry. Eventually, he said, you are right. He said sorry and asked me for forgiveness. There was another part of my answer to Antonia. I wrote, as much as my parents have hurt me, I love them with all of my heart, and I want to rebuild a new name for them, honor them. I want my mother to be strong and my father to be understood. And the way that I feel I can do that is through taking their name, my name, and changing what it means with dignity. What hurt me most, more than the memory of my father and mother leaving me with my younger brothers, was the image of my father pinning my mother by the wrists, his mouth non-consensually on her neck as she cried in silence. Her hands were tight fists. That image of her clenched hand still haunts me to this day. Seeing my name in porn gave me a sickening sense of faith. I was nauseous with the belief that now my name wasn't a symbol of some sad past, but of a woman strong enough to be submissive and vulnerable in the space of professional BDSM. Once, on the set of Electra Sweats, Ms. Berlin punched her fist into my cunt over and over again, the image that would become the photo cover of the scene. The bold red and green headline text in the cover read, An Electro Slips Christmas. When I saw the cover photo on Christmas Day, I felt proud. I'm literally punching her pussy, Ms. said. Huh? That day, the clenched hand was a thing of beauty, something that gave me joy. Mrs. Fist in me made me feel like a beloved queen. I left my drunken and dazed state to cast my eyes down on my pussy. I remember most the shock I felt when I witnessed Mrs. Black-gloved hand gliding effortlessly in and out of my own body. I felt like I was inside of a lucid dream. Never had I ever been pussy punched before. The production crew lubed me up well, but it wasn't just that. I was extremely wet. No matter what Ms. did, even if she humiliated me and cattle prodded me, it aroused me because she stayed within my limits and I felt heard and held. The element of consent made me open with such a force I could take anything in and alchemize it into a positive and pleasurable experience.
Wow, that is quite a way to kick this off. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's especially powerful to hear it in your own voice. We have a minute before we go to break, but I'm struck that your coming out in this story took place over the same medium in which you began to do sex work.
Right.
And how that actually felt for you. Because I think it's interesting, you're of the next generation where I guess people are going to be coming out to people on Skype rather than, mm-hmm. you know, across the dining room table. But you've also used the same technology as a sex workspace. And I wonder if it feels like an intimate space for you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it definitely feels very intimate in a professional sense. And it definitely felt very intimate when I was having that conversation with my father. I don't know. It's gotten to the point where I've just done so many video calls that it's like I can feel the person in the room almost.
Hmm. Oh my God, I find that fascinating. Okay, we've got to take a break. James Darling is going to join us next after the break, everyone, and share his piece with us. And don't worry, at the end of these readings, we're going to get to chat with all these great contributors. But thank you for sharing your piece. And when we come up, superstar James Darling shares his piece from coming out like a porn star. Stay with us. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, The Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase. For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year.
Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty. And now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today, I'm joined by three of the contributors of this incredible anthology edited by Jisley called Coming Out Like a Porn Star. And there's actually going to be a reading of the book with Jisley and Toby Hill Meyer in Seattle during the Seattle Erotic Arts Festival, which is great because I'm going to be there too. It's April 23rd in Seattle. I'm going to be giving the keynote talk at the luncheon for the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom presents the Consent Summit. So NCSF has put together an entire day of panels and talks and lectures all around consent. And we will tweet out the link to tickets. I know that if you buy tickets to NCSF, you get a discount to the Seattle Erotic Arts Festival. So then you can go see, for example, the reading from this book. And before that, I want to tell you that this month, there are a ton of great free classes at the Pleasure Chest. At their New York store, Thursday, March 24th, 8 p.m., Rope Bondage with Midori, a body harness hands-on workshop. Midori is one of the leading bondage experts in the world. And so getting a chance to see her and for free is pretty amazing. That's happening in New York. And then in LA, Wednesday, March 23rd at 8 p.m., Awakening Your Senses with Tantric Massage with Sam Isadora. So those are both free classes. Go to pleasurechest.com to find out more. And joining us now is another contributor. Let me tell you about him. I don't know if he's ever been on the show before, but we'll ask him. James Darling is a multiple award-winning trans adult performer, sex educator, and director. James has directed four feature-length films from his all F2M porn membership website, ftmfucker.com. And his work has been shown at film festivals, conferences, and universities around the world. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, James.
Thanks for having me.
Did I have you on already, James, or is that my imagination?
I don't think so. No, I think this is the first time.
Okay, so that's my imagination. Okay, well, I'm glad to have you. I feel like I wanted to have you on, so this is a good occasion. And so you're going to share your piece from Coming Out Like a Porn Star whenever you're ready.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So this is Blood and Butter. Have you ever had a Butterburger? My dad and I are driving from the Indianapolis airport through endless miles of midwestern farmland to where my grandmother's in an assisted living facility. We pull into a Culver's. He is so relieved that I'm no longer a vegetarian. Honestly, being a vegetarian was so much worse than me being gay and almost as bad as not being a Christian in my conservative midwestern family. My dad was the black sheep of his generation. Growing up in the clean cut suburbs of Indiana, he and his father didn't speak for many years when he decided to drop out of the Air Force and move out to California to ride motorcycles and be free. I am a queer transsexual man, and my father and I rarely spoke for years when I moved out of the house, transitioned, and took a Greyhound bus across the country to make my own life in California. I see so much of him reflected in myself the older I get, and it kind of scares me. Despite our same gray-blue eyes, jawlines, and sordid histories, I sincerely doubt that my father ever did porn. For the past half decade, I've been carving out a spot, piece by piece, scene by scene, for myself and other transsexual men in the adult industry. I launched one of the first all-FTM hardcore porn sites, have directed several feature-length films, performed in countless porn scenes, and have been nominated at most major adult industry award shows. I love porn, and I always have. I used to sneak into my friends' parents' closets and read their books about sex and took every chance I got to see scrambled porn on the Spice Channel or on internet forums. As I came into performing, I found that I had a captive audience who appreciated my boyish brand of non-traditional masculinity and commitment to ethically produced porn. Each scene challenged me to push myself further, and what started as the occasional indie queer porn gig grew into a career. I love that I get to meet all kinds of people, and that I have complete creative control and can breathe life into fantasies in a physical and visual medium most people only dream about. I imagine that I will be making porn and performing in it for quite some time, and it is work I'm very proud to do. However, my family has no idea what I actually do for a living. The more time goes by, the more I know that I need to say something. I keep imagining one day dying and my family finding out about my double life after I'm gone, a parade of sex workers showing up to the funeral with nothing but gangbangs and filthy transsexual porn to fill them in. At this point in my life, I've come out as different identities countless times. As a lesbian, as a trans man, as someone with multiple partners of multiple genders. My family no longer asks me any questions about my personal romantic life when we talk on the phone with a space several thousand miles between us. My life is too much and too confusing for them to understand, but at least we are able to be a part of each other's lives again. I love my family, and I want so badly to be able to be honest with them about my life and to openly share the joys and struggles of this path I've found myself on. If I had been in any other field, I imagine that my parents would be very proud of me for forging my own path against the odds, running my own business, winning awards, and being interviewed in magazines and podcasts and academic papers. Unfortunately, I don't feel safe telling my family about this because working in porn carries a huge stigma for most people. I know that my family would not understand why it is a good or important thing for me. I entertain the thought of practicing my story to come out to my grandmother with advanced Alzheimer's. She is one of my last surviving extended relatives. She is a fierce 80-year-old lady who raised three sons and was married to the same man for over 50 years. I can't imagine what it must be like to see all the things she has experienced in her lifetime and still be so strong. Even though my grandfather stopped speaking to me when I transitioned, my grandmother was the first extended family member to use my chosen name. Her memory is gone and she can't remember how old her grandchildren are anymore, or even who she saw a week ago, but she still remembers who I am, even though I am a man now. We watch TV and she asks me if I'm happy. I tell her yes, and decide to keep the porn myself. My dad and I were at the airport bar, awaiting our departing flights. He was harassing me for the millionth time about how I need to go to college so I don't end up self-employed and always looking for the next gig like him. How if I got a degree, he might be able to help me find a better job. I tuned him out, and my mind glazed over as I thought about my business, my struggles as a transsexual man trying to make it in the adult industry, and I just snapped out of it. I started to talk without really knowing what I was saying, and I just emotionally vomited all over my father. Dad, I can't go to school. I don't have time. I already have a career, and I have for some time. I didn't know how else to tell you this, but I make porn. I expected my dad to freak out or walk away or do something. But instead, he just got really quiet, and after a pause, he said, "Thank you for telling me. I love you." Our flights were leaving, so we headed to our respective gates and parted ways with a hug. I tried to stop shaking on the plane, relieved and secure in the knowledge that my father still loves me, this complicated transsexual pornographer son.
You know, it's like Milka's story. Your story, I thought, was headed one way and took another turn. I mean, did your dad's reaction surprise you, James?
It did. You know, I grew up in a very, very conservative household.
I got so that.
I imagine
like you couldn't even be a vegetarian. Yeah.
Yeah, so I imagine that he would be very upset. I remember when I was a kid, actually, and I was like a goth, and I came home one day with like a spiked collar around my neck. My dad was like, you know, the only people that wear those are porn stars, you know? So I always imagine that would be like the done last, you know, nail in the coffin of our relationship. But he really surprised me. So.
And since that coming out, because, you know, as we all know, kind of it's like one conversation is not really, it's not like a discrete act of coming out. You kind of have to keep coming out over and over again. Since that, has he been kind of open to talking about your career and your work?
You know, I mean, he's still, it's a lot like, you know, with my personal relationships and stuff, it's just kind of like a don't ask, don't tell kind of situation. But there was a really funny thing that happened over Thanksgiving. I was visiting him, and again, he was driving me back to the airport, and my uncle called, so we put him on speakerphone so I could talk to him. And, you know, my uncle asked me what I'm up to these days, and I was like, oh, you know, I work in video production, blah, 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 you know, just gave him something, you know. And my uncle was just like, oh, yeah, video production. I used to do that in the 80s, but, you know, what that meant was operating a boom mic on a porn set. And my dad and I's jaws just, like, dropped and, like, looked at each other because neither of us knew that about my uncle. So that was a pretty funny moment that we shared that apparently it runs in the family.
Apparently it does. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, we're going to take another break. Thanks for sharing that story, James. That was really, really cool.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So stay with us. Okay. Next up is Lorelei Lee, who's going to share her piece from the book, and then we're going to get to talk to all three of you. Before we break, I want to remind everyone that after I'm in Seattle, I'm also going to be in Portland teaching at Shebop, April 24th to 25th. Go to sheboptheshop.com to find out more and to get tickets to my two workshops. One is on open relationships and the other one is on the G-spot. But let's take a break. And when we come back, we will hear from performer and director Lorelei Lee. Stay with us.
For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want you to mark your calendars this summer because I am going to be in Dallas, July 22nd to the 23rd. Poly Dallas Millennium is presenting their second annual symposium, Designer Relationships. And I am the keynote along with some really great speakers, including Joe Court, James Wadley, Mark Michaels, Patricia Johnson, and Ignacio Rivera. You can sign up and pre-register. Early bird registration is open now at polydallasmillennium.com. And then a little bit after that, August 4th and 5th, I am going to be teaching my sex educator boot camps level 2 and 3 as pre-cons to Woodhull's Sexual Freedom Summit. They just announced the presenters and speakers for this event, and they all look really fantastic. We are going to tweet out the links to register for my pre-cons as well as registering for Woodhull's Sexual Freedom Summit. So hopefully I will see you in Dallas or I'll see you in DC. Okay, joining us now is our third contributor to the book, Coming Out Like a Porn Star. Lorelai Lee actually returns to the show. She's been on the show before. She's been an adult performer since 2000 and a director since 2009. Her writing has appeared in Salon, The Rumpus, Wired, Denver Quarterly, the Los Angeles Review of Books, and many other places. She is a contributor to the Feminist Porn Book and the co-writer of the film About Cherry, which was distributed by IFC Films. Welcome back to the show, Lorelai.
Thanks. I'm happy to be back.
So we've been hearing different people's perspectives on coming out, and we're going to hear your piece next, and then we'll all get to chat. So you can start whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. So my essay that I wrote for the book is called Naming. In Las Vegas, I was 21. We'd been there 3 days, and I was learning my new name. A stranger was teaching it to me in the ballroom. The women changed their clothes again and again. They passed in parades of technicolor latex, in white dresses and nurse hats, in fishnet and lace. On a table nearby, a woman climaxed. I was at the booth with 7. We posed beside a table of free sample DVDs and a television that played 10-minute loops of us being tied and untied. She wore a black silk overbust corset and sucked on a cherry blow pop. Pink rope impressions were pressed into her wrists and shoulders. I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd seen. I was wearing her boots. They were a size too small, knee-high, stiletto, black patent. My toes had been numb for hours. You couldn't have paid me to take them off. A man said, "You're Lorelai." I paused a moment before saying yes. He said, "I've seen you." That was the first time. If you talk to a performer, say her name is Lily Black. Remember, I'm making this up. At some point, Lily might say, "Sometimes I have to take Maria out for a night. Sometimes Maria needs a night out." When she says that, she'll be talking about herself. She isn't crazy or confused. She knows exactly who she is. I know exactly who I am. We calculate and divide to keep ourselves safe. In the tangible ways, sure, but also safe from unguarded inquiry. Every time I meet a stranger, I do this math. How much do you know about me already? What, if anything, do you deserve to know? At a holiday party, surrounded by women my age, by mothers in Saturday lipstick, I won't lie exactly, but I will evade. If you tell me a dirty joke, I'll pretend I haven't heard it before. I never cash my checks with the teller anymore. My name is the last thing I will tell you. It isn't that I don't trust you, but I don't. It isn't that my birth name doesn't fit me anymore, but it doesn't. Everything I'll tell you is both true and not true. There are a few things I was born with, but most of what I own, I made up. Most of what I own, I earned, day by day and scene by scene. This isn't about confusion, it's about context. I'm 33, and for 14 years, I have sold my naked image. I have made my body public. At this point, I have been a whore for nearly as long as I wasn't one. I've spent my entire adult life hustling. Pornography has made me who I am. I am Lorelei Lee, and also I am not. I am big sister to four siblings, 33-year-old child of a single welfare mother. I'm a queer woman, a porn star, a dominatrix, a stripper. I'm a wife in Saturday lipstick. I've done nearly everything a person can do without clothes on. I am paid to lie to you, but I often tell the truth. For a while, there were places where I would use my birth name, and there were places where I would be Lorelei. I divided it up, public and private, until the division became more rigid, the private more precious. There was a day when I decided not to be promiscuous with my origin. There was a day when I decided that I had earned my new name. It belongs to me now. Here's what I've learned. Our names are constructs, just as our bodies are. It was by stealing a name, by hiring out my body in performance, that I truly began to own both. I took on the name Lorelei at 21. It was 2 years after my first naked performance, when I'd used a name the producer had given me. When I was 19 and naked in a stranger's house in Chula Vista, spreading my legs on a washer dryer, they called me Carolyn, but that name was never mine. I sold cigarettes in bars as Lulu. I'd grin out from my pink dress, click my high-heeled shoes, and proffer my heavy box of chewing gum and tobacco, king-sized candy bars, and light-up silk flowers, pressing my breasts into the goods to make them cost more. I'd say, "I'm Lulu," and the tourists and the boys stumbling into bachelor parties at the North Beach strip clubs would say, "Did your mother give you that name?" And I would lie and lie. The dancers on break, smoking in the doorways, bought packs of parliaments with $10 bills they peeled off of hairband-secured rolls of cash. "I'm Lulu," I'd say. "Me too," they'd reply. I became Lorelei tied up in someone's living room in Sacramento, wearing $3 thongs from the sidewalk bins on Mission Street. I became Lorelei in a red leather jacket and nothing else, squatting on a staircase of perforated metal in the dark, holding for the flash. I became Lorelei in Chinatown, high on Vicodin just to alleviate the boredom of posing. I became Lorelei in a basement in Livermore, faking orgasms badly in knee socks, fucking myself in an old elementary school desk chair with a cheap plastic vibrating dildo. I became Lorelei on my knees in front of four naked men in a shoot house kitchen, clinging to pink satin beside a swimming pool at a Los Angeles mansion, tied in rope and hung upside down from a tree in upstate New York, on a green felt pool table with spit sprayed across my face, and loving the strangeness of strangers' bodies in close-up, loving the seamed scars and discoloration and dimples and forgotten hairs, scent of salt and flowers and smoke, infinite variation. I became Lorelei in cars, in trains and taxis and buses, hungry and tired at 2 a.m., at 6 a.m., at 3 in the afternoon, fingering a new white envelope of hundreds, pulling a 20 for cab fare from a just-counted stack, pressing my forehead to the cool windshield in slow traffic on the 405 with 5 days' worth of $1,000 checks in my shoot bag. I became Lorelei in the restaurant at the top of the Hard Rock Hotel in January, fist-sized goblets, plate glass wall glossing the neon, white linen in my lap when I leaned over to Seven and whispered, "I will never wait tables again." Naming a thing makes it real. In Las Vegas, I was 25 in a rhinestone dress on the red carpet, holding Annetta's hand. The line of photographers held out their microphones and flashed their camera lights. The reporter from CBS This Morning said, "Are you a porn actor?" I said, "Sometimes I act and sometimes I don't." We were scared and young. We wore cheap silk and paste jewels. I thought Annetta was the most beautiful woman I'd seen. I was still so easily shamed. If you called me a whore then, I'd flinch. My entire family saw that red carpet footage. They called my mother and asked her, "Does she hate herself?" I resent even having to tell you that the answer is no. Here's the thing about coming out. It doesn't happen just once. It isn't a thing that you do and get done. It happens again and again. It happens over and over, and it is never over. I was never splintered. Whatever I am, slut, whore, sister, freak, artist, wife, all of it is truly, wholly me. If you call me a whore now, I'll tell you, you have no idea. And still, I might be making a mistake telling you anything. At a bachelor party in 2010, I'm giving a lap dance. I kneel between a man's denim legs, look up at him. He says, quietly, searching my face, "Do you really like this?" He says, "What's your real name?" I smile, bat my false eyelashes, and cover his face with my breasts. Whatever name I choose, that is my real name.
All right. I love that line, Lorelai. I'm paid to lie to you, but I often tell the truth. In your piece. That's one of my favorite lines ever.
Thank you.
You know, one of the overlapping issues, I think, in all three of these pieces, but especially between you and Milka, is this idea of naming. Your piece is called Naming, but Milka also talks about naming in using their birth name to perform under. And I'm wondering, Milka, if you might talk a little bit about how that differs than the sort of process we just heard about Lorelai kind of creating Lorelai herself with this new name and you having this name all along.
Starting to perform in films and kind of navigating what I was doing as I was doing it. I remember once telling someone in the green room, and Lorelai was present, that I was using, I had said, my real name. And I think Lorelai had, I don't know what she had said, but she used the word real again. And I feel like it was a gentle way of her saying, like, real does not necessarily mean birth-given name. And something clicked for me. And it made me realize, like, oh, just because I'm using my birth name doesn't necessarily make it more real. And, like, the funny thing is, I touched about it in my story, is I struggle with PTS, so it's easy for me to dissociate. So my name was not anything that I really associated anything positive with. So it took using my birth-given name to finally, like, feel into it and associate with it in a way that I hadn't necessarily owned prior to using it in performance.
Oh my God, that's fascinating. So so there still is this kind of creation in even though someone else gave you this name, there still is a kind of a recreation and a reclamation in you choosing to use it and sort of deploy it in this way that perhaps when you were born your parents didn't first imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we've got to take a break, but we're going to talk more about all of these pieces and from coming out like a porn star when we get back, so don't go anywhere. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
For years now, the Swedish-based designer brand Lilo has been at the forefront of pleasure product technology. Lilo's first product changed the way the adult industry thought about sex toy design upon its original release. With its sleek lines, its graceful shape, and its incredible performance, it was as much a piece of art as it was a pleasure product. Suddenly, Lilo had made it possible to perfectly blend form and function, and they continue to release groundbreaking products year after year. Since then, Lilo has only enhanced their reputation for quality and beauty, and now they lead the luxury industry thanks to a long heritage of innovation. Lilo is the hallmark of personal, intimate pleasure. Lilo is indulgent, sophisticated, elegant, and above all, intensely satisfying. Visit Lilo.com today to start exploring a new sensuality.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. My guests today are James Darling, Milka Halili Orbacedo, and Lorelai Lee, all contributors to the book Coming Out Like a Porn Star. And you heard each of their pieces in the previous segments. James, I'm wondering, one of the things this book does that's so clear is kind of it's about porn stars coming out and then it's not. It's about a lot more. And that becomes clear pretty early on. And I'm wondering what advice you would give someone who currently wants to come out to someone else. And not necessarily come out as a porn star, but just have a coming out process, especially since yours in that story was a little spontaneous.
Yeah, you know, I've had to come out as a lot of things over my lifetime. And, you know, it's always a question of just kind of weighing the pros and cons of that. You know, my biggest piece of advice to anyone that wants to come out as anything, whether it's as a sex worker or a queer person or a trans person, is, you know, to definitely take your safety in mind, you know, number one. It's a good time and place to talk about that. But also, like, it's, you know, it came down to me, like, what I was able to live with, you know, if it would take this weight off of me to be able to not have to worry anymore about disclosing that information.
And Lorelai, you touched on this safety issue and this issue of sort of trust and how much we can trust other people with the knowledge we're kind of about to drop on them, or if we're going to sugarcoat it, or if we're going to divert it, or if we're just going to spell it out. And do you find yourself this far into your career still making those judgment calls?
Yeah, really every day. I even more so in some ways than earlier in my career when I maybe didn't have as many fans or, you know, crazy fans. every day when I'm in a situation where I don't necessarily know the person I'm talking to, it's funny how many strangers think what you do is a really banal question, but it is the one that I dread.
Right, and yet it's the first thing people ask you. I mean, a lot of places, anywhere you go in a social situation, it's definitely the first thing that people ask you.
Parties, bars, cabs, yeah.
Yeah, they mean to be polite, but it develops into kind of like a landmine. And have there ever been times when you have said, I'm just going to be straightforward with this person, and you've regretted it afterwards?
Oh, definitely. Especially when I was younger. I think that might be also why I'm now really cognizant of my concern for my own safety, is I had so many incidents when I was younger and meeting people for the first time, and I would say, yeah, I work in adult film, and somebody would say to me, oh, so you're a whore, you know, in a very aggressive tone, or someone would start to just ask a lot of questions that crossed boundaries, or someone would want to tell me about their, you know, anything from their fears to their past sexual experiences, their questions, their experience with sexual trauma, you know, that really I'm not the person that.
Well, you didn't ask. Right?
Dinner.
Oh, you broke up there for a second, Lorelai.
People's responses will be.
Start that again. You broke up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which part? That
you're not the person that they should be asking about this.
I'm not necessarily the person who can help you with those kinds of questions, nor is it an appropriate place if you're in a public setting and we're meeting for the first time.
But don't you find that that's really common? I mean, all of you, that when you open the door and say that you do some kind of sex work, people can sometimes just sort of barge right through with really inappropriate and sometimes very intimate things that you didn't ask for. But they hear sex and it's like all of a sudden all bets are off and I have to tell someone. Does that happen to you? Has that happened to you, James or Milka?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think sex just brings up such a visceral reaction in people that, and they don't have an avenue to be able to talk about it in their daily life. Like, I mean, I take it for granted being in, you know, a sex worker in the Bay Area where that's like pretty normal to talk about. But, you know, when I talk to my friends back home in the South or whatever, like it's, yeah, people will just like vomit out whatever, you know, like deeply personal stuff that they've never really been able to talk about. And sometimes it's really inappropriate, you know?
It's really unfortunate that people don't have a way of talking about sex that isn't intimate. I think that is something, Tristan, that you've done so much work in. I mean, sex education, right, is a way that we talk about sex when it's not about you intimately, but most people don't know how to have that conversation.
Right, so they immediately go to these intimate places, like you said, you'll hear about trauma or violence, and it seems totally like misplaced.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm wondering also, Milka, you talk specifically and explicitly about being a survivor, and what is that like for you? Do you feel like that opens a door for people to bring that up with you sometimes in ways that you don't want?
It's very interesting. I don't think that happens to me as often. I think because I am so forthright and I like appropriately, and I have very good boundaries, I think that people are almost intimidated by it. And they don't necessarily want to go there with me, I've found.
And what is it like, because all three of you are in the Bay Area, I'm wondering if you sometimes all feel like you're in a particular kind of bubble that where you can be your full selves in a way that maybe other people in other parts of the country can't.
It's funny, Milka and I actually both are in New York now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you work it. But both of you work in the Bay Area, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, to answer your question, I think that it's really even less about the city that you live in than it is about the context that you find yourself in daily life. Because even in San Francisco, there's lots of social situations I can find myself in where I am surrounded by people who do not talk about sex. And, you know, that bubble comes and goes.
Milka, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, that's definitely my experience as well. I can be in the most progressive city or like the most conservative city, and if I find my people, then it'll be the same conversation. But I can, you know, go two blocks in my neighborhood and speak to someone who has no context of this and have a really awkward, inappropriate conversation.
Okay, well, we're out of time, but I really appreciate the three of you spending some time with us and sharing these amazing pieces from the book. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you.
I want to tell everyone how to find you. Milka Halili Orbacedo is a writer and performer. You can find out more about them at slutsmartsoul.com and on Twitter at slutsmartsoul. James Darling, of course, runs the amazing site ftmfucker.com. And you can also follow his adventures on Twitter and Tumblr at JamesDarlingXXX. And Lorelai Lee talks about sex on Twitter at, I think she talks about books and politics at Miss Lorelai Lee. And then she talks about naked people at a different Twitter. Is that right, Lorelai?
You know, that was my former way of splitting it up. Mostly now I use Miss Lorelai Lee.
Okay, so just go to Miss Lorelai Lee. You'll figure it all out. Okay. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, maybe call us on our 24-hour voicemail line. Tell us what you thought of this show. Tell us what your questions are. 323-SEX-8266. And otherwise, find us online and talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.